This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
How much more can we shove into this day? Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It's MLB's opening day in earnest today, stateside. It's the Sweet 16 tonight, guys. LeBron James sits down for a candid interview with Pat McAfee that lasts over an hour, and we have not even talked about my favorite part from the interview when LeBron James confirms that he's a conspiracy theorist, a sports conspiracy theorist, sports, just like me. So we'll get to that in a moment, Pearl. But we also got this out of nowhere, crazy rumor involving the Dallas Cowboys quarterback.
Oh, come on. We're going to give this life to explain it.
Okay. So I'll let Bruce Dredden explain it.
I'll let Bruce explain it.
I'm going to let Bruce explain this. Bruce is a veteran sports talker and journalist.
Veteran. He also did Cleveland baseball games,
too. Okay. So veteran sports guy, okay?
Just a bit outside.
Yeah. My explanation, just a bit outside there. Bruce has been around for a long time. Here's what he came up with yesterday on his show.
That part of the reason Myles Garrett was so willing to sign this extension for contract, yeah, money. The Browns are negotiating as we speak with the Dallas Cowboys for a trade for Dak Prescott.
Just a bit outside.
Whoa. I mean, that's a pretty big one. That's a big meatball to put out there, Bruce, that Myles Garrett didn't just re-sign with Cleveland after demanding two different trades two different times, but did it for the money and also did it because he knows the team's in active negotiations to get Dak Prescott. So here's the thing, Pearl. Every single Dallas beat reporter has thrown tons of cold water on this. It does feel like it's really out of left field. However, can I just mention one thing to you?
Mm-hmm.
The betting market right now for the NFL draft is Abdul Carter as the odds-on favorite to go second overall to the Cleveland Browns.
Right.
It's minus money. How are the Browns potentially being this cavalier about who's going to play quarterback for them? Deshaun Watson is gone. He's recovering from an Achilles tear. Mm-hmm. They signed Kenny Pickett or traded for him. They've got no one else. Who's going to be the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns? Yet Abdul Carter is the odds-on favorite for them to land a quarterback when they're picking second overall. So it makes me think that the Browns have something up their sleeve to get a quarterback that we're not talking about yet. Is it Dak Prescott? I have no idea. Bruce said so. I don't know. But it's something. I think the Browns have some kind of plan to get a quarterback that does not involve the draft, obviously.
But how, I'm not a salary cap expert, I'm not Joel Corey of CBS Sports, how could one team have the two most expensive quarterbacks in the game on their salary cap? How could you have $60 million for Dak and 50-something million for Deshaun? Why is, how could that rumor start unless Bruce explains the cap situation?
Okay, so I can't tell, I'm not a capologist either, I can just tell you a couple things. Denver had to eat a chunk of Russell Wilson's salary when he got traded to
Pittsburgh. And they couldn't sign anybody, and they had to go with a rookie quarterback.
Okay, well, maybe Dallas is setting up for Arch Manning. I don't know what's going on, but I think there's always a way to make the money work, and maybe Deshaun Watson is going to get some kind of injury. Maybe they get injury relief off the contract. I have no idea. I don't want to bore everybody with details when I don't know.
First of all, that's why the Dallas Cowboy reporters could easily dunk on this because there's no explanation for it. It's an impossible trade. Also, Dak has a no trade clause and he's not taking that. Right. So it seems like a no brainer. But I think we need to even put that rumor aside because people I trust, Jane Slater, for example, have quashed it. What did that trade rumor say to you, though, about, get back to this Browns thing. So do you think that they're actively shopping and maybe this guy got the wrong signal?
Yeah, I do. I think that the Browns are definitely making calls. And why wouldn't they just take Shador, even just for the palate cleanser of the whole thing? Even if you don't think that Shador is going to be like this incredible quarterback, well, Kevin Stefanski had some of his best successful seasons with your guy, Case Keenum, and Kirk Cousins. I mean, can Shador be Case Keenum? We love Case. Yes, he can be Case, and he actually profiles a lot like Case.
Yeah, the Todd McShay has been on a world tour saying that Kevin Stefanski is the king of under-athletic quarterbacks. I feel like everyone's ripping Shador's athleticism a little too much. He compares him to Kirk Cousins, but I get the comparison. Yeah, Kevin Stefanski could work with Shador, but the Browns all draft season, nobody's been linking Shador to the Browns. Everyone's been saying that they want to go a different direction.
Exactly. So what is that direction? Because somebody has to play quarterback, and all of the guys in Cleveland are on the hot seat.
What if they're interested in trading back in the first round for one of the second-tier quarterback prospects?
Okay, that's fine, but that's leaving a lot up to chance because you don't know what New Orleans is doing, and you don't know what the Jets are doing, and you don't know what a lot of teams are doing who need quarterbacks. So, or might be in the mood for or in the market for a quarterback. So, okay, here's where I'm going with all this. There's a rumor yesterday again that the Cleveland Browns are negotiating to try to get Dak Prescott. Everyone in Dallas threw cold water on it. It feels like it'd be really hard to pull off. But are the Browns looking around at other situations in the NFL and thinking, who might not be in love with their quarterback right now? Who could be available?
Right.
And I'll tell you where my eyes landed on. Brock Purdy in the San Francisco 49ers. Jordan Schultz came out yesterday, NFL Insider, and said, while contract negotiations are going on, there's nothing imminent, and we're not even sure if we're getting this before the draft. Again, another 49ers contract negotiation that's going to linger. These guys don't learn their lesson. It caused a major shadow over last year's offseason. They did it with Nick Bosa. They did it with Deebo Samuel years ago. They did it with Trent Williams, for goodness sakes. I mean, a guy who's probably more important to your franchise than anybody, and they're going to do it with Brock Purdy. And I think part of the reason is because they think they can win without Brock. So are the Browns maybe thinking, all right, maybe we get Brock Purdy. Maybe Kevin Stefanski sees Brock Purdy as his next Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum. Brock also profiles like this, right? Where Stefanski could be in love with this dude. So, again, I don't know if the Dak rumor is true. This is one guy in Cleveland who came up with this. But the idea that the Browns are shopping around for quarterbacks who are starters right now in other teams absolutely makes sense to me.
I have no idea what you're talking about. And I want to distance myself from this take in the sense that Jordan Schultz said that they're actively negotiating a deal, and it seems like they're honing in on a number between 50 and 55. I read that Jordan Schultz story. He's saying, hey, we're well down the road here, and every single indication. The Niners gutted their entire salary cap to make room for Brock Purdy. It feels like, unlike last offseason and the offseason before that, they're making gigantic strides. So every single sign says the Niners are going to pay Brock Purdy $53 million a year, and Brock's a millionaire.
Okay.
I'm so surprised to hear that. And I don't think, why would the Browns want to bring in, they just overpaid for Deshaun Watson. Why would they want to bring in a guy who's on the brink of a huge contract?
because I think Stefanski could see elements of Brock Purdy where he says, I can win with this guy. And if you don't love Shador, and if Deshaun Watson is gone, Brock's still very young. And they might see him and say, this is a great, great option. And I think that the 49ers had like a little bit of a reckoning this offseason, or a little bit of soul searching. And they did an article in The Athletic recently about Kyle Shanahan saying, I got too emotional with the Brandon Ayuk contract. I got too emotional. I ran up to John Lynch's offense and said, we had to sign this guy. And he's like, I'm taking the emotion out of it. That's the new ethos of the 49ers. Zero emotion. So I think that Kyle Shanahan is thinking, all right, let's just put quarterback A versus quarterback B, and not Brock Purdy, who saved everybody's behind after the Trey Lance debacle, and just put him as just a dude on paper. I think they look at Mac Jones and say, we can turn Mac Jones into the next Brock Purdy. They loved Mac Jones in the draft process years ago, and keeping the quarterback cheap allows you to build your team in other ways, and that's been successful for the 49ers. So I think you say that like all signs point to Brock Purdy getting a contract, and yeah, except for the fact that he doesn't have one yet.
Well, yeah, but it's March. I read that Jordan Schultz report as a bat signal from Team Brock and the Niners that this is well on its way. I listen, your logic makes sense, but I don't know. Why would the Niners do everything they've done this offseason and not plan? Why do they keep saying we love Brock Purdy? And why does Brock Purdy, his camp, keep playing ball too? It feels like they're working. I think they're actually way ahead of where they were with Nick Bosa, way ahead of where they were with Brandon Ayuk. The report said that they might not get it done before the draft. We're talking about August 30th. I mean,
yeah.
So who cares if they don't get it done by April 27th?
Well, I think that I don't think you want these things dragging out. And maybe the 49ers don't care. You thought they should play hardball with Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I think they have a ton of, and actually, it turns out they do have a little bit of leverage, because Jordan reported they're not doing the $60 million deal for Brock. Brock will come in about fifth or sixth among quarterbacks, which does feel like they know the rest of the league is not eager to pay $60 million for Brock Purdy. I don't think teams are high on paying anyone $60 million right now. So they're coming in, as I said, closer to $50 million. So I think you get a deal done. Brock has no money in his bank account, Maggie. He's got to take the deal.
you know that? Why? Because rent's so high in San Francisco?
He was a seventh-round pick. He has not made money. He didn't even get that $31 million first-round contract.
Yeah.
So even for an NFL guy, I just think that Purdy and the team just seem to be on the same page. And I think all the smoke signals, John Lynch has said three times this offseason, I love Brock Purdy.
Yeah, well, I'm going to trade too.
Do you think John Lynch is just making this up and he's really negotiating behind the scenes? Does that sound like John Lynch?
Yeah, it does,
yeah.
Actually.
Oh, Mr. Machiavelli. He's not Red Auerbach. He's the nicest GM in the league. Well, he's never made a move like that before.
I just don't think that you would telegraph in the media, you know, of course you're going to say you love Brock. I'm just saying that this combination of reports, the rumor coming out of Cleveland that they're negotiating for Dak Prescott, I think there's something here where Cleveland, who's also the odds-on favorite to take Abdul Carter, the pass rusher, not a quarterback, in a team that desperately needs a quarterback, and one where Shador Sanders actually profiles like a lot of the guys that Kevin Stefanski has had tons of success with, and yet nobody thinks Shador's going to the Browns.
Oh, I wouldn't say that.
Except for Todd McShay, I guess.
I wouldn't say that either. There's some smoke there that they, you know, there's a Deion factor. Will Deion let them go to the Browns? That's also in the air.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, it wouldn't surprise me if the Browns are shopping around. And when you look at the NFL and you look at the starting quarterbacks who may be in dicey situations, Brock Purdy's at the top of the list. He can't be Tua. He can't play in the cold weather. I don't know where else you would look.
It would shock me.
But it's got to be. I think Purdy is the natural target here.
And then I just don't understand Cleveland then, because my understanding is that they have no cap space forever because of the Deshaun Watson deal. They have to go cheap, cheap, cheap for the rest of the time. Like Tua gets $52 million a year. And you're saying that Brock Purdy would go there and play for nothing? Why would he do that?
No, I think there's, listen, I never have seen before contracts hold anything up. Like, you know what I'm saying? Especially these quarterback contracts. Like, I think there's just a way to move the money around. I do.
I don't think Cleveland can bring in any veterans. I think they have to draft a guy. I'll bet you they go with Tyler Shuck in the second round, or Jalen Milroe, or somebody, and they go with a Pickett. They add another veteran. And I'd be beyond shocked if they add an expensive veteran quarterback.
I'd love to hear from the 49er fans at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. 49er fans, Cleveland fans, what's going on here? Because your team should be laser focused on a quarterback. You got the Myles Garrett thing done. It's done. You need a QB. Deshaun's gone. You're never going to see him in a Browns uniform ever again. I don't know. I think I'm making a lot of sense right now.
I mean, is there a chance they're executing the plan we thought the Giants were going to do, which is simply tank for Arch? Like,
who, the Cleveland?
Yeah.
It depends how comfortable everyone is there, because in New York, they're not comfortable. Those guys are going to get fired if they have a tank season, I think. I think the guys in Cleveland are on the hot seat.
I would think so, too. But if the owner is telling you, hey, like, I want Arch Manning, what are you going to do? You can't. He's not going to sign off on deals that are going to be win now moves.
I wouldn't trust that Arch is coming to Cleveland. I trust Shador coming to Cleveland and Deion signing off on that less than the Mannings get involved. We saw it with Eli.
That's true.
You know, Peyton did not go to the Jets famously, went back to Tennessee to avoid the Jets. Eli manipulated his way from San Diego to New York. I wouldn't mess with the Mannings. They're like NFL mafia.
I have a hot take.
They are going where they want to go.
Can I counter your hot take with a little hot take on Arch Manning and this whole situation and save it for the next take? Because I'm going to go a little against the grain on what you guys are saying about Arch.
You want to save it for the after the
commercial? Yes, I want to save it because...
Are you two against the grain today? Because there's another one scheduled today, too.
I say it's Thursday. We got opening day. Let's double up, baby, because I do not... I love your hot take on Brock Purdy. I think it's salary cap impossible. Joe Corey is turning over in his grave. He's still alive, by the way.
Oh my God!
Yeah, we love Joel.
Joel,
but like, and he's the capologist and the bracketologist are both saying, Maggie, you cannot make the numbers work. But Maggie's like, math is made up in the NFL.
This is my NFL girl math. I'm like, Brock Purdy, just make it happen.
I think this idea, one of the most overrated storylines of the entire draft season is wait for Arch. That's all I will say.
All right,
bring it back.
Hold on. Daniel's in Pennsylvania. Daniel, we got a Dak Prescott to Cleveland rumor. What do you make of it?
I think it's awesome. I'm picturing him and Aaron Rodgers, the AFC North. It would be great, even if it's Brock Purdy, too.
You love it.
Yeah, I think it's great.
Because you think you think they're going to fail or you think they're going to be successful?
I just think it would make things a lot more. I mean, I'm a Ravens fan, so I think it would make things a lot more interesting for me, let alone the AFC North in general.
Daniel, you love this as a Ravens fan because you know.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great.
You know that neither of these guys is going to pose a real threat. Thank you for the phone call. Who, Aaron Rodgers sitting duck back there or Dak Prescott coming off a hamstring? Or I don't even remember what's Dak's injury.
I don't know. Flacco threw for 400
hamstring,
yards a game.
Hamstring.
Flacco threw for 400 yards there in Cleveland. That AFC North is a crazy division. You never know what's going to happen.
Joe Flacco.
All right, Perloff, first of two against the grains in the show today comes your way next.
Against the grain.
All right, welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. We were discussing in the last segment the Dak Prescott to Cleveland trade rumor. Maggie thinks that Cleveland is acting very mysteriously around their quarterback position.
Yeah, kind of nonchalant.
Yeah, brought in Kenny Pickett. Who knows? They don't want to draft Shador, according to the betting markets.
Yeah, the odds are say that Abdul Carter is the favorite to go too. But meanwhile, the Browns have no quarterback, really.
Right. So EJ brought up a topic that we've talked about many times this offseason. Maybe they're waiting for Arch Manning. Same with the Giants. If the Giants don't take a quarterback at three, maybe they're tanking for Arch. Arch ain't coming next year.
What?
Arch is going back to college. I'm calling it right now on the show. Arch is going to do 2 years at Texas. So all these teams who are tanking for Arch are plumb out of luck. There are a lot of reasons why, some of which have been articulated by even Arch's camp. But other reporters like, Arch is not going to do 1 year at Texas. He did not sit there behind Quinn Ewers for two full years just to play 11 games at Texas. He is going back just like his Uncle Peyton, just like his Uncle Eli. He doesn't need a dime from the NFL. He does not care about being the number one overall pick. He wants to be at college. I am so confident about this. And the other thing, too, is basically 1 year starters do very poorly in the NFL. And the Mannings know this better than anyone. They want two full seasons of Arch at Texas. So there's no tank for Arch this year. You have to tank 2 years down the road, which the Giants and Browns might very well be doing.
It's a long con.
And the other thing, too, and I think everyone's going to disagree with this, I don't think that Arch cares about the Giants. If the Giants are a horrible team, I don't think he cares if Uncle Eli played there. Because Arch did not go to Ole Miss. He did not go to Tennessee. He did not go to LSU. He doesn't care about being in New Orleans. He doesn't care about following Eli's footsteps. He doesn't care about following Peyton's footsteps. If the Giants are terrible, he's not going to just jump to them. If, you know, I think Arch is going to be very, very picky next year, and I think there's a great chance he just stays in Texas. So this idea that you can tank for Arch is completely flawed.
Interesting. Yeah, that is not the prevailing thought. The prevailing thought is Arch waited 2 years, which is rare, something yes. Eli and Peyton did not have to do. And 11 games as a starter, whatever it's going to end up being with the college football playoff, is going to be enough.
Wait, why?
So why do you think he needs more games? That's yes. why he's not going to be seasoned enough.
I got this from our buddy Dennis Dodd. There's a quote from Quinn Ewers, who had some analytics. 25 games of college is the minimum number you need to be successful in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of data. One-year starters have really, really struggled. Only one is hit. Pretty much ever, Cam Newton. Mm. And Cam was a bit of an exception. Generally, one-year starters in college are spell disaster. Now, Kyler Murray had a little bit of success, but I don't think that is actually worth that. It's usually Mitchell Trubisky, Trey Lance. I can't remember who else is on the list, but Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson started all 3 years, but generally, guys without college experience do very poorly. Arch is on the young side, too. He would still be 22 at draft time. Yeah. I don't think he's in any rush. Here's the thing. He doesn't need a dime. Why would he come to the NFL? He's going to get $15 million to play at Texas, and he probably loves it there. It's a completely different game in the NIL era.
Yeah.
I don't know why he has to come out. For the second contract, what does he care?
Well, but your risk of getting hurt, right? And so here's the thing. His dad is not Peyton, and his dad is not Eli.
Right?
His dad is Cooper. What happened to Cooper Manning?
That was in ninth grade. He hurt his neck or whatever. Yeah. 11th grade, he hurt his neck.
I'm just saying his father was the one where injuries robbed him of a career. If you really want to get to the NFL, and if that's the goal, playing another year in college just exposes yourself to a risk where you're not going to be able to make it.
Then why would he have waited for 2 years at Texas if he was in such a rush to get on the field?
I was shocked by that. I thought he should have transferred to USC. I said it at the time.
I'll tell you why. Because I think he wanted to be a superstar in college football. I think college football is really important to the Manning family.
Yeah.
And I think he went to play with Steve Sarkisian because he knows that he'll run a great offense at Texas. I think he's probably having the best time of his life down in Austin. I think they designed this whole thing to get him 2 years as a starter, which is, I don't think, a radical take either. I think a lot of guys want some college experience. What does he have to worry about? He's going to make so much money down there that even if he did get hurt, he's a millionaire for life. His dad, Cooper, is a very successful businessman.
Yeah.
It reminds me so much of Peyton. Peyton went back. He was really picky. You know, he did not have to go back, and he went back to Tennessee. Eli stayed all 4 years. He probably could have come out. I don't really remember Eli as a junior, but I'm sure he would have been a high pick. So I just think, and it's not just him. I think there are a lot of guys with NIL who will be picky. They are not going to go into the draft if it's a horrible situation.
Yeah, I just haven't seen so far a guy who, besides Peyton Manning, you're right about Eli, but that was years and years before NIL. I have yet to see NIL keep a guy who could be a top five pick or a top three pick in college, even with the money. Like, if you're that high, we were just actually arguing about Cooper Flagg before the show, because I think you have a similar kind of thing about Cooper Flagg, your fear that somehow the Sixers are going to get the number one overall pick and Cooper Flagg's going to decide to go back to Duke. I think the NIL can keep guys in college, but not if you're going number one or number two overall. I still think that the siren song of the pros is still too much to ignore.
Well, if you're going
lower guys, for the maybe it's your late lottery or your second round, yeah, hell yeah, come go back to college.
Right, because a lot of guys went back this year, a ton of guys.
But not top five picks.
No, but Carson Beck went back, Drew Aller went back, Cade Klubnik went back, Garrett Nussmeier went back.
Well, they were all coming off some crappy seasons.
Garrett Nussmeier was pretty good, but yeah.
But they need to get their stock up.
No, I agree, but again, Arch is not everybody. Like, Arch does not have to be concerned about this. He's going to be a number one pick whenever he wants to be.
Man, show bet?
Yeah, I'll do a show bet. I mean, I definitely will do a show bet on that one. I'll 1,000% do a show bet on Brock Purdy resigning in San Francisco.
Yeah, that was the other one we were talking about. These Dak Prescott to Cleveland rumors that popped up yesterday. Doesn't mean not necessarily that Dak is going to be going to Cleveland, but are the Browns looking to poach a starter that's on a different roster? And I think that Brock Purdy is there for the poaching because I don't think that the 49ers – I think they like Brock Purdy. I don't know if they love Brock for $55 million. And they have Mac Jones now on the roster. I think they believe they can win with Mac Jones and keep the roster cheap.
Oh, by the way, Arch is still 19 right now. So he was on the young side of his class.
Yeah.
The man could have held him back outlier style, but they did not.
Redshirt year and kindergarten?
Yeah. I just think everyone, and actually my bigger point is this idea that you're looking at this draft and say, you know what, I'm not going to take a quarterback now because there might be this great mythical superstar next year is a very dangerous way to be in the NFL because you never really know what's going to happen. So if the Giants are holding off on Shador because they think Arch is going to be there, I just think that's dangerous. Maybe they don't get in position to draft him. Like, so much could happen. But that narrative's out there that they're not. And EJ just said with Cleveland, too, they're not going to draft Shador because they think Arch is out there. You know.
But here's the thing, though. Tanking for a quarterback does actually work. It worked with Andrew Luck. It worked with Trevor Lawrence. It worked with Caleb Williams. That was a little bit different because it was a trade that Carolina made that was kind of crappy.
Like, well, I mean,
you can manipulate getting the first overall pick and tanking for a quarterback, and it works.
That was, you just named two situations in the last 15 years.
No, I named three. I mean, I could
have put
Joe Burrow in there.
Well, Caleb doesn't count because you're right. That was the Panthers.
Okay, what about Joe Burrow?
I mean, they did not tank for Joe Burrow. That was completely accidental. But the other thing too, Joe Burrow came out of nowhere. I'm talking about tanking a year in advance, saying we're not taking Shador. The Colts didn't do that either. They basically had injuries.
Yeah,
they didn't know that was going to happen.
The Browns definitely sucked for you know Darnold, but they ended up being Mayfield. Like, I don't think they knew who they were going to be drafting, but
they knew they wanted.
Yeah, they were 0-17.
Right,
but they were trying to
again. Did that plan work? I think my point was, yeah, I do think teams will do it. I just think it's generally saying next year's class going a year in advance is, I think, and the funny thing is, and I was looking at this, 2 years from now is a crazy, crazy quarterback class. Because I think Arch will go one. I think that Dylan Raiola will go two and DJ Lagway will go three. If you're going to tank for 2 years from now.
I know, but you just said it's not a sure
thing.
It's not a thing guys are coming out. So you can't say 2 years, it's a sure thing.
My point was, like, everyone's saying, wait for next year's quarterback class. Everyone's specifically saying, this is a very weak, you've heard this, it's a weak quarterback class, right? So everyone's saying, next year will be great. My point is, you do not know if next year will be great. It's just not. It's not a no-brainer. In fact, I think next year's class is going to be exactly like this year's class. You're going to have a bunch of guys who might get pushed up. So it's just a common draft narrative that, oh, wait for next year's class. I hear it every year. We say next year. Dude, we always say that,
you
right?
You said it yesterday. Yeah. You were telling me that the Giants should suck for Arch Manning. Now you're telling me I got to wait 2 more years for
I know.
This?
Actually,
could you let me off this hook?
It was after the show. I was thinking about that. That's exactly why I came. It's actually my Athlon piece for this week about the tank for Arch idea is going to end up horribly for somebody. I just don't think that this is the year to tank. And I think
So that's why they have Russell Wilson. So now you're on my side. Let's go.
Oh, well, wait, Giants? Is Russell part of the tank or not part of the tank?
Can you tell the difference?
I mean, they should be better with Russell Wilson at quarterback than they were last year.
Well, that's not a high bar to clear.
I know, but that's my point.
Well, does that mean
want to be better?
Wait, by the way, I'm sorry, this is a side topic. Does that mean they're not drafting a quarterback?
Well, the betting market moved, so it was supposed to be Shador Sanders was the favorite to go three until. When did the Russ signing happen? Literally 2 days ago?
Yeah.
2 days ago. Now it's Travis Hunter.
How large a swing? I mean, it doesn't mean Shador's out of the picture.
No, but it went from minus money to plus money.
And I did see that the Giants' win projection did not change.
Yeah, three and a half.
Three and a half.
Yeah, three and a half. And it didn't move. Not even
crazy.
A four and a half.
Because he doesn't have a catchphrase yet. Wait till the catchphrase comes out.
So speaking of that, if I may introduce my own update.
Yeah, come on in.
Because we had Russ yesterday. There was no catchphrase. There was no Sopranos impersonation. But he did speak to the media and was his normal cheesy self as the newest Giant quarterback.
Coming here, obviously being in New York, it's an exciting place to play. It's a place that wants to win. It's a place that knows how to win and has won before. And so for me, it's bringing everything I know all the experiences, all the touchdowns, all the wins, but also all the love and passion for the game.
Passion for the game. He's excited to lead men.
Hey, where's the freaking gabagoo?
We just didn't get that yet.
Maggie, you missed yesterday.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. Is this when I was my puking haze?
You know how Russell Wilson always tries to accommodate Chameleon in any situation? Is he going to start talking about gabagool and with a New York accent?
Yes. Let's rock.
Yeah. He's going to do the Tommy DeVito.
He's going to co-opt it. He probably said, Tommy DeVito, we got to have a meeting, not about the offense, but how to act like a New Yorker.
Russell Cutlets?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Russell Cacciatore. Russell Parmesan.
Are they going to do like a 23andMe and turn out he's like 1/100th Italian?
He's going to get up his first press conference and be like, hey, where's the bleeping ziti?
That would be hilarious.
He was at the Knicks game last night, right?
That was my next question.
Yeah, you predicted that yesterday, Bo.
Oh, no, he asked me. I predicted that.
Oh, EJ, sorry. Yeah, yeah. EJ, you predicted. Yeah, that was faster than you expected, though, right?
That was fast.
The way things went, is he allowed to go back to a second one?
Harden, no. With the handle. He's got six in a row. Does he want more? Working on Hart. It's a step back three. Unconscious. Three in a row from downtown for numero uno, 89-84. Clippers by five.
This guy's growing
16
on me.
16 in the corner for the bearded wonder.
That's Carlo Jimenez on Clippers Radio. L.A. running away for a 126-113 win over the Knicks. James Harden, 29 points, 27 from Kawhi Leonard. Tom Thibodeau's team is now 5-5 without Jalen Brunson.
There's going to be adversity. You have to be mentally tough. You have to be able to get through that. You have to stay disciplined. And, you know, I knew it would be a challenge. They're playing really well.
The Clips
Who
are.
Who needs Brunson?
Clips are. The Knicks need Brunson. The Clips are currently playing well. They now win a tie for sixth with the Warriors at the moment.
Did you guys see Russell Wilson on the sideline? At one point, he said up. He said, hey, ref, what are you doing? Forget about it. That's a foul.
Get this guy some concrete shoes.
Yeah. I'm walking
with
here.
The fishes? Jeez, you guys. Wait, did he get, I'm assuming he gets put on the Jumbotron. Did he get cheered? Or indifferent?
I didn't see the reaction. I only saw the celebrity row.
Yeah, maybe the TV didn't.
Does he have
carry
Sierra with him? She's a great airbag.
Yes, she was there.
No one's booing her.
Andrea is seriously hoping she could be friends with Sierra now that she's in the air.
Andrea really thinks she's what going to run into her. Like,
she's
like, man,
she's a yoga teacher. And, you know, she was a private instructor. Andrea's a yoga instructor. She's like,
oh, Sierra's a big yogi?
Feels like she would be.
Oh, you don't know.
No idea, but I mean, I've seen her dance.
Just took a shot in the
dark. I've seen her dance. I've seen her move. She's very flexible. I feel like to be that good at what she does, you got to do yoga.
Does your fiance have any other celebrity clients at the moment?
No.
Okay.
I kind of co-starred in a movie with her. I could maybe introduce them.
You got her number?
Wow.
Yeah, she was the Andy Samberg's girlfriend, and That's My Boy, which I played Louie, the boom mic operator.
A lot of people who work here have things with Sierra.
Yeah.
What's going on? Whoa, is that an earthquake?
What in the heck is that?
Right. Sorry.
Loud? I don't know.
Can I leave
today? A lot of construction in the building. Are we
excavating things?
That was a big boom if you guys heard that coming over the air. We're fine. It's
one
cool.
more thing, by the way.
We may not be fine.
Remember when Bogus was on the air when the earthquake hit?
Yes.
Thanks, Bogus, again.
And I stayed for that.
That was about a year ago now.
I know.
Wait, do you guys would have wanted me to stay after what I went through on Tuesday?
No.
When I tell you I did you the biggest favor any friend could ever do.
We're just thrilled for you to leave.
I just didn't like the fact that we didn't see you again. That freaked me out a little bit.
Well, EJ saw me. I was on the ground in the office.
I told him you looked like a Bond villain because you were like in the back in the darkness and we could only kind of see your shadow. You were like, just put the stuff in the office.
I was hunched over I looked like I was praying because I was to some porcelain.
I'm like, is that
God.
Maggie or is that Deep Throat? What's going on? Am I about to get some FBI files?
Possibly with Maggie. You might have gotten some
JFK info.
When I tell you guys.
There was a second shooter.
So I was obviously very sick on Tuesday, so much so that I had to leave during a commercial break, and Bogus had to come in and finish the rest of the show. So thank you so much for doing that, because I was really, really sick. And when I tell you that ride home, I've never been driving and puking at the same time. I'm sorry, America.
You threw up in the car?
Twice, while I was driving, while I'm on the highway.
What did you do? Hook like a plastic bag over your ears? How'd you get this done?
I threw the coffee that was left in my coffee cup, and I puked in the coffee cup twice. I'm sorry. It was so bad. It was
quick,
so bad.
Show your feet.
And why, a better visual.
Why are you sharing that with the audience?
I'm sorry. I've never, it's never happened to
me. Trying to drive to work
I'm sorry,
pleasantly
everybody.
Right now?
Eating their bacon, egg, and cheese right now.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm
green
sorry.
That didn't help, EJ.
Dude, I lost 4 pounds.
Dang.
You and Mookie Betts.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, in like 12 hours. 24.
So wait, is lost 4 pounds and like you're psyched you lost 4 pounds?
Well, I wish I didn't have to go through that to lose the 4 pounds.
But you'll take it?
Well,
yeah, can like, I get that routine real quick?
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't we, I can't even make a joke. It was bad. Yep. It was bad.
Okay.
So thank you. And yes, it was better that I left the studio.
Is that the same mug that you're consuming?
I washed it out.
But it's the same mug.
You
same
wash
mug.
It.
Oh, I washed God. It 100 times. I put it in the dishwasher.
That thing has to go in the trash right now.
Dog.
Wow.
You drinking out of that? Are you out of your mind?
I cleaned it.
No. Can't clean that one
Did
enough.
You clean it with like bleach and stuff?
Bleach? No. Dishwasher detergent.
Nah. It's got to go.
Hey, are you guys serious?
A little bit.
I'm starting to feel a little. A little off. You mean that cup that's 8 feet
gonna,
away from me?
I'm going to put it away.
You drinking coffee out of the puke cup?
I cleaned it. Just like I wash my sheets. I Lysoled my house.
Yeah,
you guys have gotten sick and then recovered, right?
You're not going to move houses. That's a good point, but it's a little different.
I've like disinfected my toothbrush, like all the things that you do after you get sick, no?
Yeah, but I would have probably gotten rid of Yeti and got a new one.
How do you disinfect a toothbrush? So, it's called buying a new toothbrush.
You can do that too.
There's like stuff that you can buy that I sleep with retainers in, TMI. And so there's stuff you buy.
You're just getting hotter by the minute.
I know. This is, hi guys. This is the real
Bad
Maggie
news.
Here.
She's married, guys.
Damn it.
I'm taken. Me and my retainers are taken. So
Fancy's gone for a lot of this now, Maggie. Just let you know.
I am 4 pounds thinner, if that matters. But anyway.
And not in the feet, guys. Don't worry. Those
don't
are still
worry.
The
I haven't
same.
Lost anything in the feet. Feet are still, you can see them from outer space. There's stuff to clean your retainers, and I use it to clean the toothbrush. This is not enough.
No,
I'm the gross
fine.
Person.
I'm good with the toothbrush.
No. You throw that bad boy away and you get a new toothbrush.
All right, I'll throw it away.
But the cup's the headliner.
The cup is the one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the toothbrush, I'm okay with. The cup.
I love this cup, though.
I know. I love Yetis. I carry one all the time.
I know.
Yeah. Aren't you like everyone else who has 47 Yetis that are collected through the years?
I know, but this is like my special one.
Yeah, because you puked in it now.
You
That's
shouldn't have done that.
It's
you
a wrong special.
Where else was I going to puke? You know, right in my lap?
No, right on the side of the LIE. I don't know.
I couldn't like pull over.
Yeah, I've been there.
I just had to go just right there.
Oh.
I'm sorry. It happened twice in a 40-minute ride home.
You got home, and thank God you got home.
I was going 40, like I was going really slow,
but still, that's
it was dangerous.
Yeah, but I mean,
because my eyes were watering.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And like that's the only way my brain works. Like I'm immediately thinking of like logistics. So I'm wondering, like, does your husband need to come get you to drive you home? Like I was thinking of all of these different scenarios, like how we were going to get you actually out of here.
No, it was rough. I just had to like I was like all hunched over driving home, puking.
So back to the hurling.
Yeah.
So you say you hurled twice on the car ride home.
No, like I had like two different sessions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so after the first sesh, did you empty out the contents of that cup? And
I did
just...
not.
I gotta go. I'm off tomorrow, guys. Just a heads up.
I couldn't throw it out the window.
You could have.
You could have thrown the whole cup out the window, actually.
Here's the thing, though. I was just down to the bile at that point.
I'm starting to think out. That... I'm starting to think you might need a new car, too. At least our own, because this thing's got to go. Can we get a hazmat team into the studio, by the way?
Can we get a new Maggie? How does that work?
I don't know. Whatever
is
it is.
Is ours broken?
Nope, this is me.
Oh.
Does anyone else feel like they're about to throw up?
Yes.
I think we need to change the topic, because I think we're making the audience sick, too.
I'm sorry.
Tell us one of your fun, good stories.
I have nothing.
That we usually boo off the air.
No, I got nothing for you. Oh,
I got a
feel
good
sequel.
Story about a fan at the Royals opening day. Boring.
What do I have on here? I actually do have
bile, apparently.
Something
dry heaving.
Wait, let me guess. A 2000s NBA player tells a random story on a podcast.
Yes, Jeff Teague.
Yes,
on the money.
Yeah. Jeff Teague talking about
well
the best
aware.
Thing about being an NBA
I'm well
player
aware of the
Gatorade.
Fascination with this genre.
Of which I had every flavor.
You
over
missed
the last
an eBay story yesterday, by the way.
I did?
Yeah
you didn't show up for jail.
What? Oh, yeah. He's on the lamp, and you guys are telling me right now?
I guess they agreed to move it back, but we didn't know he was...
It sounded a little shady.
It did. But yeah, he didn't go when he was supposed to.
I'm Shohei Ohtani.
What? You guys are just letting me know this now?
I'm shocked you didn't know already.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, doesn't your phone buzz with things like that?
So you had like, yes, push your notifications on all things E-Pay.
This is all too much. We have new JFK documents. We have an E-Pay story. We have a random 2004 NBA player saying something on a podcast. This is all too much.
I'm overwhelmed.
The perfect show.
All right, take a break. We have a sequels bracket that we have to update as well. It's M&P.
All right. This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. We went totally off the rails last segment here, Maggie and Perloff show. So, by the way, there was more meat on the bone about how everyone is excited to have Ciara in New York, and nobody seems to want Russell Wilson. But that Brian Daboll hugged Ciara so much more happily than he did. Yeah, he basically pushed Russ aside to meet Ciara. But then Maggie told her very disgusting story about driving home while having a stomach issue.
Yeah, puking on the way home.
Yeah, that was not good. Oof. Not good. Everybody in the newsroom heard it, and everyone's like, do you feel a little queasy? Yeah, I feel a little queasy.
I'm sorry, everybody. Okay, let's make you feel a lot better. Let's get to some movie sequels. Okay. We're in the Hoth region. I always say it like...
Nailed it.
Like I'm saying it for the first time because I'm not a Star Wars person, but we have some results that we want to update you for here. Our second round results, Perloff, the number one seed in this region. Of course, we're talking about Hoth. It's Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. They move on, beating out Beverly Hills Cop 2.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try.
Who are these 17% who voted for Beverly Hills Cop 2?
Me.
Yeah, Maggie's saying, oh, that's a good movie.
Yeah,
oh,
forget Nielsen. God. You guys, give it another chance. Anyway, Beverly Hills Cop 2 is gone. Star Wars Empire Strikes Back moves on. In the 12-4 matchup, Spider-Man 2, an easy victory over The Incredibles 2.
You killed my father. There are bigger things happening here than me and you. Harry, please, I've got to stop him.
Pleasantly surprised by the next result. We're in the Maggie and Perloff movie sequels bracket where the third seed Batman Returns gets its credit, taking out Too Fast, Too Furious.
Great speech, Oswald.
Oh, my name is not Oswald. It's Penguin. I am not a human being. I am an animal. Cold-blooded. Crank the AC. Where are my lists? Bring me the name.
So forget about it, cuz.
That's the Tom Thibodeau sound. I'm just kidding.
You're pleasantly surprised that a Batman franchise beat up one of nine Fast and Furious movies.
Love Batman Returns. I think it's underrated.
Definitely more than nine as well.
Oh, right. That's a good point. But I just think Too Fast, Too Furious, like, which Fast and Furious sequel do you pick? That was generally a tough one.
Too Fast, Too Furious is the one you pick.
Is that the best one?
I think so.
Well, they are going home. Batman Returns marches on. And finally, this one was close. The closest of all the matchups in this Hoth region in the second round, the second seed, Aliens, 59% of the vote, takes out the 7 seed Rush Hour 2 that got 41%.
Ripley, it was a bad call.
Bad call?
Right.
These people are dead, Burke! Don't you have any idea what you've done here? Well, I'm gonna make sure that they nail you right to the wall for this. You're not gonna sleaze your way out of this one. Right to the wall.
Ah, mess with Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, that was a tough matchup for Rush Hour 2.
I'm pissed.
Yeah, I feel like Rush Hour 2 maybe was a little underseeded. Very popular movie. Did really well.
Great movie. But Aliens 2 is kind of thought of as one of the great sequels. I mean,
yeah,
it's a two-seed for a reason.
Way better than Aliens 1. It's one of those where the sequel, the second part of a trilogy is better than the first. Superman 2, same thing. Superman 2, way better than Superman 1.
Yeah, okay. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Wrath of Khan, way better than Star Trek 1, which was the Seinfeld episode.
The Dark Knight, better than Batman Begins. Though Batman Begins is very underrated, too.
Which is why we had to do this movie sequels bracket, because we got to determine what is the greatest movie sequel of all time. And you are helping us do this. So there were some results from the Hoth region, and we'll update you on more later.
Maggie revealed one of the reasons, and one of the reasons we got into this, she loves comedy sequels, where a lot of critics do not, obviously.
Yeah.
And she said her reasoning was, a lot of times I saw part two on cable before I saw part one.
Yeah.
So, for example, Beverly Hills Cop 2 is not good if you've seen Beverly Hills Cop 1. But if you've never seen Axel Foley in his full glory, then you're like, this is hysterical.
Yeah, it was the first R-rated movie I ever saw, Beverly Hills Cop 2.
Yeah, Beverly Hills Cop 1 is Congrats. Amazing, So, but you didn't know that. So you're like, this is really funny. This guy's from Detroit.
He's like talking cop from Detroit.
Yeah. He's got a great sort of chemistry with Judge Reinhold.
Good theme song.
Yeah, it was great the first time.
Well, this is why we exist, because we got to get to the bottom of the greatest movie sequel of all time. So you're helping us do it, as I said, and thank you for that. 888-710-4ISN. Got a couple sports questions out there for you. One, could LeBron James have played this well in any era? He did a big sit-down with Pat McAfee's show that aired yesterday. And second question for you, after some Cleveland Browns Dak Prescott trade rumors, who's going to be the Browns starting quarterback in week one? I got my thoughts, and he's playing in the Bay Area right now. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.